accurate information very quickly on the meetings because they feel Nixon betrayed them when he gave details of the secret meetings earlier. Mm-hmm.
Well, what is the flavor there at the moment? The ceasefire is in effect or will go into effect?
Oh, no, not anywhere near.
Oh.
No, the flavor here is the same as it was yesterday, that the South Vietnamese are doing well and the enemy supplies are going to run out and, you know, all the same old tired bits.
In other words, it's erroneous that there is a 7-day ceasefire?
Oh, yeah. No, it's not even reported that there is one.
Hmm.
The report is that a secret negotiator met with Lee Duc Tho in Paris and from the American side proposed a 7-day ceasefire.
Lee Duc Tho did.
But the American side.
Oh, the American side.
But the terms could not be worked out.
I see. So there is no 7-day ceasefire.
Oh, no.
Okay, someone called and said, what about the 7-day ceasefire? And I said, I don't know. I'll check on it.
Yeah, no, it's just hanging.
It's just hanging.
Hanging fire.
In other words, that's probably Kissinger talking, and they have not reacted to it except in a negative manner thus far.
It's sort of consistent, though a little bit longer period, the same thing that they tried to get the International Red Cross to run through it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's have a ceasefire and bury the dead and so forth. Evacuate the civilians and attend the wounded.
Mm-hmm.
How are you doing?
Doing fine. I got home at 1 o'clock this morning and had a nice trip. I just wish I could have stayed over because I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
As I always do.
Uh-huh.
But I walked in and I got this, and so I said, well, I'll call Tom and see what the flavor is.
That's where it stands at the moment. Kissinger's been off negotiating again.
Yeah. Is he back yet?
Yeah, he's back. He came back last night.
Yeah.
And what he's doing, they aren't saying, and basically they're going to pursue the military course. But obviously they've got something in the negotiating front, too.
Yeah. Did the other side leak this, or did we announce it?
Other side.
The other side.
Yeah, they also first leaked that they'd be returning to secret talks.
Yeah. They're a bit upset at the at the other situation, I guess.
Well, yeah, you can't really blame them. You know, they want to keep their propaganda coming out.
Sure.
And then build up a book on them and then drop it on them out of the sky.
Sure, sure. Okay, how's the town taking the Hoover thing as expected and so forth?
You know.
Who is your inside bet, Helms?
They're going to name an interim man.
That probably is Felt, huh?
And, the only name I had on an interim appointment would be this guy who was fired by Hoover, William Sullivan.
Oh, Bill Sullivan.
Yeah. And that would be only until after the November elections. After the November elections, he'll come up with a permanent name. Who the hell knows who that'll be.
When do you think they'll name the interim?
Today.
Oh, today.
Yeah.
And it will be Sullivan?
No. I don't know who it's going to be. It's going to be from the FBI or the Justice Department.
I see.
They've narrowed it to those two agencies.
Mm-hmm.
And the only exception, they say, would be a man with FBI experience.
Mm-hmm.
The name I was given yesterday was Sullivan.
Yeah. Well, it should be an interesting time. We'll see what happens at the peace talks tomorrow.
Yeah.
And they might reconsider the 7-day ceasefire.
Yeah, the public talks are zero. You know, just ignore them.
Yeah.
Don't even waste your time reading about them.
Good. I figured as much. That's just the propaganda machine.
Oh, yeah. That's fine. But the other, there's certainly something afoot.
Well, it'll be interesting if they're saying a 7-day ceasefire was offered, and there could be a bit more traffic on that.
Yeah, they may accept it right after they take rank.
That's right. That's right.
Okay.
Okay, Tom.
Inside.
Thanks much.
Thanks, Mark.
We'll see you. Bye.
I wondered if you could give me a readout on
anything further on the offer of the 7-day and the other side rejecting it and so forth.
We're hoping we'll get something in on that. I just ran through the whole business, and it's just still awfully goddamn vague. Our understanding is that this was something being discussed in Saigon, picked up then by some British reporters, and ran as though it were something being offered.
Well, the quote's going to the North Vietnamese, though. Isn't it? Or is it?
The what?
Isn't it being attributed to North Vietnamese, say they rejected it?
Well, somehow or another, you see, in response to what was this press story, apparently, they said they weren't interested, or Madam Din did, really.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Then the PRG, the press spokesman at Tunis, Lee Van Chau, 27 April, I believe, responding to a question from a Vietnamese woman journalist, and South Vietnamese, said that we were not aware of such a proposal.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, I think it finally dawned on them that they hadn't really...
Yeah.
Up for telephone proposal either. And,
Well, I doubt that, Jim, don't you? I mean, after all, the man got back from over there last night, and, of course, he's playing it close to his vest, and he probably won't have anything to say publicly, but it stands to reason that, with him...
Oh, you mean an overall ceasefire?
I mean an overall ceasefire for 7 days.
No, I'm sorry. We're on a wrong wicket. I'd just been asked about, from the Hill, about a local ceasefire thing.
Yeah.
No, on the all-over, no, I do not know, and it's just another one of these possibilities, and I do not know.
Well, I'm sure the other side is continuing what they... They're upset at Mr. Nixon because he told about all the secret meetings, and they continue to leak hard information.
Well,
you know,
quite possible.
To try to get back at him, and the fact that Kissinger just came in from over there last night, that...
quite possible, although, frankly, there's an article, did you see Crosby Noyes' article, saying that he really couldn't fathom how there was going to be some serious move until the effects of the offensive were assessed. Of course, we all now know that lots of things happen that don't seem immediately logical.
Mm-hmm.
But I must say that my view is that noise is sound in the rational point of view.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see how, why, unless, you see, there's only one, what I regard as fairly remote possibility. That is that the North enemies feel that are keeping, of course, very, very, very close eye on how far they can go with this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they may well reach a stage when it looks, when the situation from the press, from the public, you know, from coverage, from this side, looks very good for them. And in fact, in which it is not all that good. It is doubtful. At that point, they might say, okay, let's turn it off. Because
well, it would seem to me...
Because reached the furthest that they expect their drive would make.
I was just about to say, it makes more sense to me to think that when they begin to run out of supplies and the drive has reached the point where they need resupply, at that point in time, they would accept a 7-day ceasefire in order to resupply.
Or to resupply, or in order to see... In order to just see what that might do, they put a lot of eggs in one big basket.
Well, one thing for sure, they haven't moved all those damn tanks that far south with the idea of taking them back anytime soon.
Right.
I mean, from a strict military point of view,
That's
you
right.
don't move that kind of equipment that far south with the idea of turning around and going home anytime soon.
Or with the idea of abandoning it.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, you know, they don't. They would at least like if they make some withdrawals in some areas, it'll be driving the tanks back. They won't try
That's
to put
right.
pajamas on either.
And let's face it, too, the very real problem, a very real problem, there are many of them. Well, my personal opinion is a very real problem that faces the men at 1600 is that this thing just might continue on and they could reach Saigon before Election Day in November and he really would have a problem.
Yeah. Well, I think that it's 50-50.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think that certainly it is.
My information is they offered it. We offered it. They said they rejected it. We're not interested in it at this point in time. And, of course, I don't know why Washington is not mentioned. My sources say that Kissinger left. And, of course, White House won't say anything about it.
Yeah.
He got back late last night, and they won't say. But, hell, everybody knows he's been to Paris to talk with Le Duc Tho.
Well, I mean, I think that this whole side of that, Murphy, I really have given up trying to understand it.
Yeah,
I just think it's not even worth my time. You know, what do we mean? if he's not there for a few hours,
yeah.
And then he's meeting with the president, I mean, well, what the hell? I don't know sort of how, who is being, why are we adding this? Obviously, I would say that we might well not disclose immediately everything that was said at the conversation. It's
mm-hmm.
a secret talk, okay. But, I mean, the idea of a meeting and so forth is far from upsetting anybody.
That
seems to be quite clear. I've just puzzled. I've asked other people around. I said, well why? I can see that we would not sort of bring tape recorders
right,
and broadcast
right.
theoretically secret talks. But on the other hand, not that I'm talking about later talking.
Sure.
And
sure.
talking about secret talks.
Of course, they're trying to get back to the president, I'm sure, because he told them.
Oh, sure.
And they're trying to leak hard information to
sure.
before anybody else can.
That's right. That's right. And, but I could be the only situation in which I could envisage their calling for these stars, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Resupply. Also, if they had thought that, well, we didn't get the total crack that we wanted, you know, we didn't get a total bug out of Arden, and it's still there, and there's still a lot of fighting ahead, and now they would know better, of course, than we could have said, and now it's going to be sort of touch and go resupply.
Yeah.
Then
of course, they've got another insurance factor, too. They know they've got at least until June 1, until he finishes his meetings in Moscow.
Yeah.
Because the Russians undoubtedly have said to him after Haiphong, you know, no more of that, or the meeting is off. And according to my information, this is exactly what happened.
That's exactly what happened.
And therefore, the other side has a bit of safety there in being able to do as they please without fear of total all-out bombing in the North.
Yeah, although
Although they, I'm focused more now at this stage on a tactical side there in terms of the only thing I could think of is North Vietnamese might change their mind is when I feel like the odds are moving up more rapidly than is perceived by this side.
Mm-hmm.
Is moving up against them on because there is this problem with the tanks that you and with the trucks and with the towed missiles and all that. Is that that stuff has got to, you know, you've got to keep getting in your fuel,
mm-hmm.
And you've got to keep coming in with resupply. Now, they seem
right.
to have a hell of a lot of stores now down there. I mean, they're spending ammunition like it's going out of style in some of these places. But that's also, of course, if it started out in the north. Now, recently, their tanker rate, I think, has taken a sharp
yeah.
upturn.
Yeah.
But initially, they were using their hardware to protect themselves from high casualties.
Sure.
That was what everybody was, you know, that was the military now. And,
of course, the military, when we were supposed to be able to, or sure, they could go in there and do high flying without hitting the Russian ship. Of course, we did.
Well...
Of course, we not only hit it, we set that booger on fire.
I'm, I think that we always appreciate the Air Force now, because, you know, God, we had to have something, but God, they oversold.
Yeah, yeah.
Always oversold, the accuracy. You know, and it never sort of seemed to come through to people at the very top that no matter how many demonstrations they gave them, you know, out in small
sure.
planes or something,
sure.
that flying over iPhone with the goddamn sky blowing up underneath you at 800 miles an hour, you know, hiccups, we'll put the weapons off about a mile. And
listen, Jim, I've got a call on the other line. I'll talk with you later.
Great, and I'll follow up on this other thing.
Great.
Thanks.
Thank you. Bye.
Hey, Murphy.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine. They're still tracking. Doggone this thing. I just got a transatlantic invitation to dinner Sunday night.
Oh, really?
From
your normal host?
Well, it was the second man, you know, that I talked to last time.
Kai.
Right.
Okay.
Issuing an invitation in the name of Minister Tweed for 8 o'clock at Choisy Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
So what do we make of that?
Well, I would you can figure the guest list will include certain people.
Yeah. It may even be an olive branch.
It could. Now, did they hint, your initial call this week said that you'd be contacted about details and so forth, but this
yeah.
is all the details they gave you?
Yeah, right, and it was also, you know, they told me Monday before, so
mm-hmm.
a slight change of signal.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, I'm sure that the Monday meetings will follow and
yeah.
subsequent information.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what we've been waiting for.
That seems to me to be a kind of social occasion to maybe get me with the man.
It does, where you, they once again can, in addition to the item of central interest to us all, they can explore your mind about present posture and so forth.
In a more relaxed manner.
That's right. It would appear to me that it's a similar dinner situation that you had once before there.
Yeah.
Before the man changed his colors and became irate at you.
Yeah. So apparently he's either changed his back or somebody told him to.
Right. All right, it would seem to me then that Saturday, either Friday or Saturday, is a good getaway time.
Yeah, right.
Because you certainly would want to be there in time to rest up and be going with a clear head. No fatigue, and I will discuss with people here, and we'll get back to you.
Okay, I talked to Ross this morning earlier, and told him I'd get right back to him. So you do that for me, and I'll just wait to hear from you. The schedule's here, Murph, for the same. I could get out at 6:45 tomorrow morning,
mm-hmm.
or 10-something. The 6:45 would get me there at 9:50.
Right.
The later one would get me there about 1:45.
Very good. Very good. Well, I imagine we would shoot for the earlier one.
Yeah, that would be better, I think.
Now, is there any particular reason that if we could encompass this to wait until a Friday and then you can just go from here on your trip?
No problem at all.
Okay.
Whatever way you want to do it.
Now, will you be in your office this afternoon?
Right.
Give you a call back.
Yeah, okay.
Ralph, thank you much.
Okay, Murphy.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Hello?
Just one moment, please. I get the number now.
Thank you.
Hello?
Hello?
Murphy?
Hi.
Murphy?
Yes.
Boy, it's got to go on record as the longest call ever.
Is it really?
Oh, God. I'm glad to be able to talk with you.
Well, it's good to talk with you. I'm sorry I missed you the other day, but...
It came as somewhat of a surprise to me when he got on the bus going from one terminal to another that I was on.
Right.
But it was simply a matter that he missed the flight out of Dallas and could not get to New York and spent the night in Atlanta and just arrived by coincidence the same time I did.
I see.
Okay. You have your recorder?
Okay, proceed.
Okay, now... he has written out a memorandum because of the importance of last night's meeting.
Right.
I do not want to use the name.
All right.
First of all, let me tell you the bottom line.
All right.
The plan has been postponed at least 1 month.
All right.
They find no fault with the plan. But because of successes at this point, they do not have the majority that they had before. Apparently, the Hawks do.
Okay.
That's the bottom line, but now let me read to you what he has written.
All right.
Present at the dinner meeting last night was the number one man.
All right.
At the head of the table.
All right.
The number two man on his right.
All right.
The number three man on his left.
All right.
Then the number four man was on number three's left.
All right.
And then he sat next to number two.
All right.
The mood of the group was relaxed, friendly, and twinkle-eyed, if he could use that phrase. They were open and honest, always choosing not to answer, or to answer very briefly, rather than mislead or lie, or so it seemed.
Okay.
Number one man dominated the conversation for the time that he was present. He excused himself about 10 p.m., or about 1 hour before our man left.
Okay.
At that point, number two came to the forefront, as is his nature. He said what all they had for dinner. Okay. Number one opened the conversation by saying the plan that we had forwarded and the supplementary information about Japan, or from Japan, was entirely adequate.
All right.
The government had made its own judicious inquiry of the Japan source, had no further questions about the logistics or possibility of the plan.
Are you saying that that interpretation is that they also contacted Japan?
Yes. Now, what our man said was that was the smartest thing we ever did, was to go to Japan, because that enabled them to check us out to see that we were telling them the truth.
Mm-hmm.
He said that was a good move on our part.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Our man said that he was aware... Correction. The number one man at the table said he was aware, however, of the implications of the current offensive. Those implications must delay our pursuit of the agreement for the time being. Our man interjected that he may not be fully aware of the implications. Would he please elaborate? Then he went on to say, the possibility, this is number one man talking, the possibility of a military settlement of the war seems more likely now than at any time in the recent past. The armed forces are being more successful than many would have predicted just a month ago.
Uh-huh.
And our man said that out of the corner of his eye, he could see number two beaming.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It may therefore be hoped that all of our man's countrymen could be returned in the next several months. That's the term he used, the next several months, as part of a wholesale negotiated peace settlement.
Mm-hmm.
My man said that the reports indicated little progress was being made in the design of such an agreement. They agreed. They said it was true, but that eventually the Americans would have to capitulate. He seemed sorry that he had used that word, but it was too late. He had already said it. Okay, now let me stop thinking. I'm going to say this. Unless the president did something irrational, the military tide would continue to run with our man's host.
Mm-hmm.
Was the president capable of an irrational act? My man said that he was. Said, with his personality, a man of his personality traits, backed against the wall in an election year, wanting re-election more than anything else right now, might strike hard out of desperation.
Mm-hmm.
Would it not disarm him?
Send an academic this question if all of the countrymen were released now.
Mm-hmm.
He then distributed the editorial.
Mm-hmm.
You know which editorial?
Yes, I'm talking about. Yes, I know.
Okay. He then distributed the editorial and argued it for at least 15 minutes. Now, I'm reading a quote here, our man talking. He said, "They wavered. Lord, how they wavered. And I remembered Edgar Allan Poe's Annabel Lee, in which all the demons down in the sea held their breath as life was possible." Now, let me stop there a minute.
Okay.
What he said was that they had taken the position that, you know, nothing was going to, we couldn't move ahead now.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, when he produced this editorial, he said, for 2 or 3 minutes, we were closer to having all than we've ever been.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, then, the number one man at the meeting just, you know, firmly, not with a great deal of forethought, said no. It was like an exerted no as opposed to a conscious decision, like he was really, you know, he was capable of saying yes, but he just had to force himself to say no.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Well, at that point, he had said, we have learned that Americans, and then changed that to most Americans, understand only force.
Now, this is the number one man.
Right.
Okay.
And he went on to say, as somewhat of an unrelated comment, let me stop there a minute. You know who frequently sneaks off in the dead of night?
Yes.
In high places?
Yes.
Okay. The one you had a lot of information about early last week?
Right.
Okay. Their number one man said, you and this man that I just referred to,
mm-hmm,
are a lot alike, but he must defend the policies of the administration. And so he, too, understands only our victory. That's a quote. I want to restate that.
Okay.
He must defend the policies of the administration.
Right.
And so he, too, understands only our victory. Now, what he was saying here, according to our man, was that they tried to negotiate. They've been unable to, and the only thing that is understood is when they're on the winning side.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the real
right.
Okay. Now continue reading. Realizing how very close I had come to gaining the release of the men, I took another tack and agreed for another minute. Wait a minute, I can't read his writing. I took another tack and argued for another minute that the case for assuming the nomination and possibly the election of McGovern by releasing the men now.
Mm-hmm.
By that time, however, the more humane element had been fully suppressed.
and their number one man said, the issue may largely be settled before the November election. At any rate, our continued persistence can only work to embarrass the present administration. At that point, although he obviously was not finished, number one had to go. He shook my hand warmly and looked me straight in the eye when he said, we must talk again. Now, he then left, okay?
Right.
Now, number two then took over, even to the extent of moving into the chair that had been formerly occupied by number one at the head of the table. And reminded our man that he had told him once that the present policy, vietnamization policy was working.
Right.
And that he might as well deal with Nixon now because he would surely have to deal with him later. Did I still believe that? Circumstances change, I said, and so do most people. Was he capable of change? He smiled and said that he was capable of change as Nixon.
This is number two talking.
Right. Then our man said that he hoped we could all learn from what might appear to be dogmatic personality traits in men we did not admire. At that point, number three gave an understanding nod. Okay?
Okay.
Then number three said he sincerely hoped the delay in implementing our agreement did not discourage me. He was sure the military and negotiating situation would be clarified by the time the rains came.
That's an interesting quote.
Yes, it is. Now, at this point, number two started talking again, and I want you to listen to this. And then number two uncomposed me with, quote, will Mr. Perot be angry? I understand he gets angry when things don't go his way. Yeah, boy, you know, I just about unnerved on that.
Yeah.
And he reacted with this statement. He said, he will be disappointed, but you know, I have known him for some months now, and I have never seen him really angry. Then his tormentor said, then things must normally go his way. And our man replied, in situations in which his intelligence can influence the outcome, yes. But evidently, intelligence does not always influence you, sir.
Great line.
Yeah, right.
Great line.
At that point, number three could see that the time had come for me to go. So he interjected with, let us continue the discussion tomorrow afternoon. And so we will, today at 3.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's what he wrote down. And I really didn't know how to say this without just, you know, it's got a lot of the flavor to me.
Right.
Now, let me go through the notes that I took while he and I talked last night.
Okay.
I may repeat some of the things that, I've already said, but that's okay.
Okay.
Our man feels very strongly that initially there was a very narrow margin in favor of the plan.
Mm-hmm.
The dub.
Right.
And that what he thought was being said last night was that because of military successes, the Hawks had been strengthened and that there wasn't a margin in favor of the plan now.
Mm-hmm.
He was very, he said, boy, you know, when I brought out the editorial, I really thought I had it at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Because they reacted very keenly. And he said, but then in the final analysis, it was very much an exerted effort on their part to say, no, we can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
He said, but we came very, very close.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's see. Okay, he is meeting today at 3.
Mm-hmm.
With number 3 man. He does not know who else will be at the meeting. However, he feels that they will try and keep the tormentor away.
Mm-hmm.
He has no indication that the number one man will be there. And he does not know what will be discussed.
Okay. Now, what time do you have? What time do you have now there?
12:10.
Okay. There's only 6 hours difference now with daylight saving.
Right.
Okay.
Now what our man said was, since our leader's name came out,
right,
that he's going to use another tack that he and our leader had talked about, being one of two-way influence as opposed to one-way.
Right.
Which, he said, at the appropriate time, because the way they wavered a little bit last night, he's going to bring the editorial back to discussion again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, let me net out for you what we feel were the pertinent points of last night's meeting.
Okay.
One, the plan is okay to the point, but they have no questions and it has been checked out by them.
Okay.
In Japan.
Right.
Two, the plan has been postponed until the rains come.
Right. I mean, postponed until the rains come. Is that the reason?
No, at least until the rains come, because of the present successes and continue.
Right, but it's because of the latter, not because of the rains necessarily.
Oh, no, absolutely right, because of the latter.
Okay.
Okay. Three, that the previous relationship held up. Everyone was friendly except the tormentor, who never has been friendly.
Now, you're speaking of number two, then.
Number two, number one, and number three. Breakfast. The tormentor, number two, right.
That's what I thought, no?
Right.
Okay.
But the rest were friends.
Right.
As it has been in the past.
Right.
Number four point is that our leader's name came out in the open.
Mm-hmm.
Which only confirms that what he's believed for some time and that they've known.
Mm-hmm.
And so it doesn't make any difference.
Mm-hmm.
That's the point.
That right.
They have known, it doesn't make any difference. The fifth point is that since they don't typically make idle statements.
Right.
He expects possibility that he and their number one will talk again.
Mm-hmm.
Because he made such a point of it.
Right.
The sixth point is that the editorial very much impressed them, but he'll come back to that at the appropriate point.
Mm-hmm.
The seventh point is that they're very concerned about an irrational act.
Right.
Very, very concerned about that.
Mm-hmm.
And the last point is that
We're talking.
Hello.
Hello. We're talking, operator.
Right. Okay, get off.
Okay, number, let's repeat six and seven, just to make sure that...
The editorial very much impressed him, and that he's going to use that again at an appropriate time.
Right.
The seventh point being that they're concerned about an irrational act.
Right.
And the last point being that they believe that the whole issue may largely be settled before November.
Mm-hmm.
And that between now and November, continued persistence will only embarrass the present administration.
Right.
Okay, now that's it in a nutshell.
All right, two things are very pertinent at this point. Number one, are you satisfied in your mind of any questions about our man as a result of the getaway and so forth, or have you had an opportunity to truly pursue it?
Well, I did, because I did have the opportunity, and I think he's for real. It concerned me immediately when I saw him.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
any explanation as to why he did, because there, you know, there are planes in other directions, and so, or why he did not...
Well, we talked about it, and, you know, he basically got out to the airport at 20 to 2.
Yeah.
That's when I dropped him off.
Right.
And his flight was at 2, or whatever time, yeah.
2 o'clock.
And he stood in line to the point that it was too late. So he missed that flight, thought he could get there by going through Atlanta, and he got to Atlanta and could not get there, and so he just said, you know, to heck with it, I will sleep all night, get a good night's sleep, and go over tomorrow.
You're convinced he did not return home, then?
He said he did, and he talked with, you know, good conviction.
All right, he got there and he slept all night. Why did it take him all the next day, then, to get on to where you saw him? Because you must have seen him at, 5 or 6 o'clock, the time where you were.
It was 4:30.
Yeah.
4:30. And, I don't know. I think he's for real.
Okay.
Now, I found out something on the way over that I was unaware of, that you and Ross may or may not be aware of, so I'll mention it. He was in the Pentagon in the Office of National Security at one time.
I did not know this.
From the time period December 59 through 62. To use his words, I was one of JFK's whiz kids. Okay, that came as a surprise to me, and we talked about it. There's no doubt in my mind that he talked of the nature that he knew what was going on in those times.
Mm-hmm.
So I mentioned that. I didn't know whether Ross was aware of that or not.
I did not know it in that context. I knew about the Princeton and the congressional race and all of those things. But I was not aware of the latter, particularly in that context. But Ross is a little concerned about things, you know.
Right.
As well he should be with the context we had to think about it and in view of past things.
Right.
And I told him that as soon as we heard from you, we'd get a net out on if you thought he was for real.
No, I think he is.
And there's no doubt in your mind that
that these meetings occurred last night and everything took place as he said?
I think so. He went by taxi. He did not go by a private car.
Mm-hmm.
He came back the same way.
Did you observe his departure or arrival?
Departure only.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Okay. The next obvious question is, and I'm sure that the two of you must have discussed it, now that the name, our man, is up on the table,
yes,
does it make sense that perhaps he get involved more?
He doesn't think so at this time. He said, let's wait till after the meeting today,
mm-hmm,
and then let's make that determination.
All right. Okay. Now, informationally, from this side, let me tell you what has happened. The number one man in this country,
yes,
has called a meeting of the National Security Council for this morning,
uh-huh,
and according to the source that I quoted to you last week about the man that was over there last week,
right,
according to his employers, their network, they were saying last night that they had learned that the number one man in this country was about to announce a major policy change regarding Vietnam.
Okay, I heard that on BBC last night.
Okay.
So I'm aware of that. Listen, I'm being bugged by some people outside this booth.
Uh-huh.
Let me say this. I will call Ross at the office this afternoon. I'll probably start trying around 7 o'clock tonight, which would be 1 o'clock your time.
Right.
So that'll give our man time to get back.
Right.
And alert the switchboard. I'll be calling Clay.
Okay, good. I will alert. Also, are you where you thought you would be?
Yes.
What is your room number?
713.
Okay.
And I will be there. I'm supposed to meet our man there in the next 30 minutes.
Okay. Anything else we need to know, or do you want us to do?
Not at this point. I'll talk to you later this afternoon.
Very good. Thank you so much.
Okay.
We'll be talking.
Right.
Bye now.
Bye.